Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 7. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the text. Simon the Pharisee was obviously a person who had grown up with God's word. He was trained, as were all Pharisees, in the Torah, the law of Moses. But as Paul reminds us, who grew up also as a Pharisee, that the law does not bring life. The law only points to judgment. But the law of God, the Psalms and the writings of the prophets, it would have been as familiar to Simon as reruns of MASH or Cheers or Seinfeld are to many of us, which is somewhat of an indictment of our society. I'm also showing my age. Perhaps I should say as familiar as reruns of Duck Dynasty or Phineas and Ferb. However, Simon was, as the prophet Isaiah said, ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Simon thought he knew God. He was convinced that he was a leading man of God. However, it is clear that he did not know who God was because he did not recognize who Jesus was. Simon questioned whether Jesus was even a true prophet because he obviously did not know what kind of woman it was that was washing his feet with her tears and anointing him with the ointment. There is no doubt that prior to the events that took place that evening, Simon the Pharisee, he could quote scripture better and went to worship more often than this sinful woman, who was most likely a prostitute, but, you know, not just some, you know, living on the edge streetwalker. I mean, she has this alabaster jar of ointment. I mean, she had quite a profitable business going for her, whatever it was. However, through the work of the Holy Spirit in her heart, this sinful woman had a better understanding of repentance and forgiveness than did Simon. She knew who she was in relation to God. And the guilt of her sin, the realization that, who knows, maybe she had been listening to the words of Jesus preached there in the city. Whatever it was, the realization came that she needed the forgiveness that Jesus was offering. And her need and her repentance literally brought her to her knees. She never bowed before any of these self-righteous pillars of the community. I mean, their laws are just, as scripture says, rules taught by men. But she was humbled before the one person that could save her from the guilt and shame that she had brought upon herself. The Pharisees, I am sure, repeatedly pointed out her sin. After all, they knew exactly who she was and what kind of life she had led. You didn't need to be a prophet to know who she was in that town. And they knew who she was, and they condemned her for her lifestyle, for her actions, and they were right to do so. It's not as if she didn't deserve to have her sins exposed. We all deserve to have our sins exposed. We all deserve shame and judgment. We deserve to have everything we have ever done wrong announced before God and all of our neighbors. That's what we deserve. Forgiveness in Christ brings many blessings. Christ came to free you from guilt and shame. Never let me be put to shame is the plea of the psalmist. Three times we hear that in our intro today. Do not let me be put to shame. This only happens in Christ. But this doesn't mean that our sins are to remain comfortably hidden. That didn't help David until Nathan came and exposed his sin. Only then did David rejoice in the grace of God. When, after the whole Bathsheba and Uriah incident, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Familiar words to us all. We repeat those words in our liturgy very frequently. It is the common offertory. We are to confess our sins before God and receive his absolution. Receive the joy of the grace of God. And when you sin against someone, and it is something that, you know, is bothering your conscience, is something that, you know, is not something that just can be let alone, confess to them that what you have done is wrong and be received back better than before, forgiven and strengthened in the gospel. I mean, that's what David experiences. That's what the woman in our gospel reading experiences. Yes, it brought her to tears and shame publicly, but she was overjoyed to hear those words of Christ, "You are forgiven." She found true joy in Christ. The sinful woman, she is confronted by the mere presence of Christ, and most likely heard the words that he was preaching, as he did associate with tax collectors and prostitutes on a regular basis, as we hear the Pharisees repeatedly condemn him for doing so. She hears his word, becomes aware of her sin, and it breaks down her defenses. The saying is true. It's a C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the LCMS Church, is the one who said it. He says, "There cannot be faith in a heart that has not first been terrified." It's from his book, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. This sinful woman, she comes to faith, but first she becomes terrified by the guilt of her sin. She feels the wrath of God. She fears the wrath of God. Simon's problem was that he didn't think that the wrath of God was a problem for him. Like the Jews in Capernaum, which we heard about 2 weeks ago, who came to Jesus and asked him to heal the centurion's servant because, well, he is worthy to have you do this for him. Simon the Pharisee is quite confident that he is worthy of God's blessings. The woman washing Jesus' feet with her tears comes to him with a much more clear view of reality. She knew that she was a sinner. Simon knew that she was a sinner. But Simon didn't know that the same was true of himself, and that the fear she felt is something that he should feel. How many of us are truly terrified, horrified, appalled at what we do, at the things we say? Or do we just wink at our sins and tell us, oh, that's really no big deal? I mean, after all, everyone's a sinner, and I'm doing pretty good compared to that guy. That's how we like to look at it. It's the deceit of our sinful nature. There is a reason that Christ spent so much of his ministry comparing and contrasting the attitude of the Pharisees with the desperate pleas of truly repentant people. The only times in the Gospels that Jesus commends the faith of anyone he meets is when they say, like the Samaritan woman, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Or like the centurion who said, "I do not deserve for you to even come under the roof of my house. Just say the word and I know that he will be healed." Or like the sinful woman in our gospel reading this evening, who could say nothing. She was so overwhelmed. She was so overwhelmed with remorse that what she had done brought her to her knees and in a tear-filled act of service and worship bowed to her Lord and Savior. This is how we are to approach our Lord. It's why the liturgy, as I said in the opening, is filled with this repeated heartfelt pleas to God, pleas of mercy, and the corresponding message of forgiveness. And the Lord says, "I will forgive you your sin and remember your sin no more." In the Kyrie, immediately after the absolution, you know, we confess our sins, then I pronounce the absolution. I forgive you all of your sins. Immediately after that, what do? We sing, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." These words are not just fillers so that the service lasts a full hour. This defines our life in Christ. We come before God with sinful, heavy hearts, and we seek redemption. We throw ourselves on the mercy of our Lord and Redeemer. We place our entire future in the faith that we have been saved through the blood of Christ. We hear that message of forgiveness, and we come to Him again and again and again, confessing our sin and hearing that joy of the gospel. We come to worship. We come before Him with repentant hearts, and we know that we will hear the words that were spoken to that sinful woman. And Christ our Lord says to you this day, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.